If you have your Bibles this morning, I'd encourage you to open them to the Gospel of Matthew, the first gospel in the New Testament. We're spending this Advent season looking into the titles and the names given to Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew. On November 25, we read through the lineage of Matthew chapter 1. That was a delightful read for us all, wasn't it? And again, you were glad that I was the one reading and not yourself. The value of a name. Jesus is the name above all names. And just let me remind you, if you're ever in a pinch, if you're ever in a place, if you're ever in somewhere and you're like, what else am I going to do? Call out to the name of Jesus. In our day and age, if we get sick or we get down physically, the first person we typically call is a doctor. Call in the name of Jesus. Call in the name of Jesus. Last week we saw Jesus as Savior. He will save his people from their sins, is what it says in verse 21. Do you know Jesus as your personal Savior? Have you asked him to be Lord of your life? If so, he has saved you from your sins. What a wonderful thing. That's awesome. Next week, we will see Jesus as king, and the following weeks, we'll see Jesus as a shepherd and then also as a little child. Today, we see Jesus as Emmanuel. Here are some phrases maybe you've heard. I am with you. Maybe you've heard this one. May the force be with you. With God, all things are possible. Maybe you've even said this. Are you with me? Have you ever been with someone? Nowadays, being with someone doesn't necessarily mean you're with them. I've mentioned this before, and I'll mention it again. It's interesting when you go out to eat, possibly, and you go and you look at a table, and there are four people at the table, and they're with each other, but they're not really with each other. They're on those little gadgets, and they're looking at it, and you're just like, what's going on here? By the way, if that's you, put that down and spend time with that person instead of someone else. We have so many distractions. We have phones, we have TVs, we have books, we have games that separate us from really being with someone. If you're a husband in the room, you've been guilty. And that guilty is, did you hear what I said? Oh yeah, I got it, yeah. And then 5 minutes later, now, what was it that you said, dear? If you're a lady in the room, that may be true of you too, but I'll put it on us guys first. Some of you have been in a classroom before, and you said, I'm there. And the teacher says something, and all of a sudden, the teacher asks a question, and you're like, I wasn't there. I have no idea what the question is. Being with someone is different, has different aspects. You would say today that you were with Pastor Steve at First Wesleyan Church, quite possibly. I hope that I get to say hi to each and every one of you. But if I don't, were we really with one another? I mean, there's something different about if I'm over here and I'm with Hudson. I mean, I'm right here with Hudson. How are you doing today? You doing all right?
Yeah.
Okay. That's different than being up here. What does it mean to be with someone? What does it mean that God is with us? I hope that I can unpack it a little bit today, and may God's Spirit speak to you as well. I'm just going to speak from one verse today, Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. If you have your Bibles, I encourage you to open them and maybe underline something. It's on the Bible that's in a rack in front of you on page 807. Here's what it says in verse 23. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. This was quoted earlier from Isaiah. Maybe you have a helpful hints part in your Bible, and it says it's from Isaiah 7, verse 14. Here's what it says in Isaiah. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, from Isaiah. People were looking forward to the Savior. What were they expecting in Old Testament times? I just begin, who was God in the Old Testament times? We see him at times as one who's somewhat distant. Someone who's like, you can come up on this mountain, Moses, but nobody else can touch the mountain. If anybody else touches a mountain, guess what happens? They'll die. That's kind of how we see God in the Old Testament. He was the God who spoke to the prophets. And so the commoner, the lay person, just the regular Joe, maybe he didn't feel like he could have access to with God because God was this almighty, holy of holies. This was for the spiritual giants. This was only for Moses and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. But, you know, just regular Joe couldn't necessarily get to God. We see God speaking to people in the Old Testament, but this promise of Jesus being present must have sent a big encouragement. I begin to wonder, as I thought of this, and maybe you've thought of this too, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Well, wasn't God already with them? Why would Jesus need to come to have God with us? Because God was kind of already with them, wasn't he? In Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 8, here's what it says. It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not be fear or dismayed. Deuteronomy 31, 6. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified of them. For it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Joshua 1:9, have I not commanded you to be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So I begin to think, well, wasn't God already with them? What does it mean that now Jesus, Emmanuel, God is with us? What does that mean? God was there, but I believe that Jesus' coming made it more personal. In our day and age, we've missed this important concept, and I think we need to hear it today. We need a personal relationship with others and with our Lord. Though we cannot see him, we can get in touch with him through quiet and intimate times. If you're a parent and you have kids in your home, or you were a parent and you had kids in your home, if you ever had kids that were misbehaving, you may have said something like this. Why don't we just put you two in the room together and we see who comes out? Okay, so the adults in the room, when you were a kid, was that ever said about you? Were you ever said, let's put you in a room and see? Not that any of you misbehaved at all. If you're a Christ follower, I don't think you should bend over backwards, but you should be willing to work things out with people. How easy is it? Sometimes it's not very easy, but it is harder when you're not with that person. Instead of just viewing someone as evil, get to know them and spread Christ's love that way. Let me give you a for instance. Right over here are some apartments. I think most of you drove by the apartments on your way in. And if you live in the apartments, please know I'm using this illustration because it was just a location thing. But let's say that you think that all the people in the apartments are evil. All right, let's just say that. That's not true. But let's just say that you have that viewpoint. What do you think of those people in those apartments when you drive by? Oh, let me tell you about those people. Man, at 1 o'clock in the morning, do you know what they do? They listen to heavy metal music. I know they do at 1. Do you know what they do at 4? And on and on. And all of them are bad and evil. Now, that's kind of silly, isn't it? No way does that happen. Nowadays, we attempt relationships via Skype, Facebook, GoToMeeting, and via text. These can serve as a great connection to people, but they don't provide the touches we need physically. Imagine Jesus. Hold on just a second. Let me text Steve today. Let me have a go-to meeting with Steve. I hope that he can find a computer and internet access, and we're going to go to a meeting, and then I'll be right there on the computer screen. Won't that be lovely? Of course it would be lovely to spend time with Jesus that way. But we have to have that personal touch. And because of that, he came to our earth. He came as a child. He came to be with us. We're several years removed from his actual being here, but we have recordings and understanding of him through the Bible. And he is returning someday. Praise God. Are you longing for that day? I read recently, it's not like Jesus came down to earth for a pleasant change of scenery. He left all that was most bright and beautiful to enter a broken world darkened by sin, sin that would be the death of him. So what does it mean that God is with us? This word Emmanuel is mentioned how many times in the Bible? Anybody know? It's mentioned 3 times in the Bible. It's mentioned in Isaiah 7:14, it's mentioned in Isaiah 8:8, and it's mentioned in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. Have you realized yet that God is with you every single day? John told us this in his gospel, John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Emmanuel is a Hebrew word, which means God with us. When Jesus was born, this fulfilled a prophecy from Isaiah 7. You know how many years that was? 700 years is how long that prophecy was given. I begin to wonder what this reality really means for us. Let's first talk about the person who's not yet received Christ. What does Emmanuel mean for them? Because there are people that you know. What does Emmanuel mean for someone who doesn't know Christ? Not much, really. They don't understand that. In essence, it's kind of like somebody that doesn't have any clue about a refrigerator. Now, Jesus is more than a refrigerator, okay? But just think of the joys that you have from your refrigerator and your freezer. You have nice, cold pop. You have food that after you cook it, you can put it in the refrigerator and then you can not have it spoiled and have worms in your stomach. That's a good thing, isn't it? You have cold water. Those individuals that don't know about a refrigerator, they don't have any clue of that. What does this mean for the person who turns to Christ? It means the world to them. They have been separated from this presence and then stepped into the presence of the Almighty, and then they've come into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, the peace, oh, the joy, oh, the hope. If that's been you recently, you know that. Oh, the joy. What does it mean for the person who has walked with Christ? I think that means, hopefully that means for you, more peace and more joy as you go along, more trust, more understanding, more just, God is with me. Why should I fear? I talked about this a little bit last week. Some of us in this room are a little bit of a, well, we worry a little bit. Trust God. There's something in your life right now that you've been worried about, trust God. He can do it. I recently read a book called Wounded Tiger. It talks about World War II, and one of the groups it talks about, because it kind of highlights several different people in the book, is some missionaries in Japan. And when World War II started and they were a little concerned about being American missionaries in Japan, they fled to the Philippines. And they actually fled to some jungle areas where they figured they could stay away and they wouldn't be found. And they even had hiding spots where when the alert guys would go up in the tree and alert them, they would run to their hiding spot and they would hide. The Japanese, though, knew they were there. And they found them. They found them, and here are these American missionaries in the Philippines trying to stay away from the Japanese. They ended up losing their lives. They ended up being decapitated, actually. And there was one of those, and his name was Jimmy. And they said, what was Jimmy's last words before he was killed? And here were his last words before he was killed. as he knelt down on the ground, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." There's something that happens when God is with us and he becomes incarnate in our lives. When a person such as Demi, who's an American missionary, can say, "God is with me, and Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." I don't know that I could do that. I hope that I can, but I've never been in a place where I've been told to kneel down and there was a guy who was ready to take me out. That's what Emmanuel means. In trying, difficult, unimaginable, and altogether unthinkable circumstances, his presence transforms us into something that we are incapable by ourselves. His overwhelming and overpowering presence in our lives moves us far beyond who we are and who we could be. Emmanuel could mean manifestation of God in our midst. Hear that again. Emmanuel could mean manifestation of God in our midst. Romans 8:38. If God is for us, who can be against us? They shall call his name Emmanuel. You may be puzzled with this for just a moment, because I am as well. Just a couple of verses later, this is what it said. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now, two verses later, it says, you shall call his name Emmanuel. Well, which one is it? Is it going to be Jesus, or is it going to be Emmanuel? What are we going to call him here? Obviously, we refer to him as Jesus more times than not. I think here is what it is. There's two things we get. One, Jesus will save his people from their sins, and his presence is with you. So not only will Jesus save you, and then just say, go for it, he will save you, and then he will be with you. That's a wonderful thing. A couple of weeks ago, I talked about Jesus' name and what it means. Here we are given what Emmanuel means. His presence is with you. Exodus 33:14, my presence will go with you. Maybe this message this morning is just for someone who has felt like God has just let them down, that God's presence hasn't been with you. Let me remind you, his presence is with you. Maybe you've had some circumstances this last year, you're like, really, God? And there's been some very quiet, dark moments for you where you've really questioned that. Emmanuel, God's presence is here. It's an important phrase also because it lets us know that Jesus was more than just a man. He was God and man. This is telling us that Jesus would be born a physical man, and God telling us that Jesus was God with us as well. Praise be to God. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 to 8, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with man a thing to be grasped. Let me start again. Who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. That's God's promise for us. What should this declaration of God with us do for us? There's a book called Love Does, and the book author is named Bob Goff. I don't know if you've ever read the book. If you haven't, I encourage you to read the book. It's a fun little read. Bob was he's probably in his 60s now or somewhere in that range, but he was a junior in high school. And I don't think that he cared much about God at that point in time, but he had been befriended by a guy by the name of Randy. And Randy was a young life guy, and so Randy had influenced Bob's life. I don't know if you're familiar with Young Life, but Young Life is a Christian organization, and basically they just try to impact teens for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Bob decided when he was a junior that he was just done with school. And so he thought, I'm just going to leave school and I'm just going to go. And so out of courtesy, for whatever reason, he decided to show up and tell Randy that he was just going to leave and go find a job and be done with school. So he went to the door and he knocked on the door and Randy came to the door and it was early in the morning. He said, Randy, I'm just letting you know, I'm leaving, I'm tired of school, I'm just going to go, I'm going to go find a job. And so Randy says, well, when are you leaving? Right now. And Randy said, well, hold on just a moment. So Randy left and Bob stood on the deck and waited on Randy to see if he'd come back. And he came back and he had a backpack on his shoulder. He said these words, Bob, I'm with you. Well, Bob was a little bewildered by that because he wasn't expecting Randy to go with him. But sure enough, there they are, jumped into the vehicle. Bob is a 16 or 17-year-old junior driving down the road away to wherever he wanted to go, and Randy's sitting next to him. They got to their tent site for the night. They really didn't have any plans. Bob didn't have plans because he was a junior in high school, of course. And they kind of found themselves in the backside of a campground somewhere, hoping they wouldn't get caught. And they didn't. Got up the next morning, and Bob said, well, I need to go find a job. And Randy said, I'm with you. Bob went looking for a job all that day, and he did not find anything. Randy, as Bob recalled, didn't lecture him. He didn't say, what in the world are you doing? He just went along with him. Randy even told him that day, you can do this, Bob. And Bob, I'm with you. Didn't find anything the first day, and the second day, Bob went out, and he's trying to find something, and Bob just said, you know what, I better go back to school. So back they went. Bob recalls in the story that they probably drove 4 or 5 hours and didn't really say a whole lot. Bob dropped Randy off at his house, and he went inside with him. As he went inside the house, there in the house was a microwave, half in a box, there was a stack of plates, there was a coffee maker, and Bob was just beginning to wonder, did Randy have a birthday or something? What took place here? Well, as they were in the living room, a lady comes out from wherever, from the other room, and she says this, "Welcome home, honey." And it was then that it dawned on Bob. Randy had just gotten married. And these were wedding presents on the floor. Randy didn't just say he was for or with Bob. He was actually with him. I don't know about you, those of you who are married in the room, if the day after your wedding or a couple days after your wedding, if you showed up and said, dear, I need to go be with this 17-year-old kid that is really messed up. Can I go be with him? I don't know how that would work in your house. I don't know what happened. But I do know this. Randy said, I'm going to be with you. And he was with Bob. And here's what Bob says. What I learned from Randy about the brand of love Jesus offers is that it's more about presence than undertaking a project. I'm going to repeat that. What I learned from Randy about the brand of love Jesus offers is that it's more about presence than undertaking a project. Maybe I need to make it a little more personal for somebody here this morning. Who are you needing to be with? Is there somebody that you just need to be with? See, we rush through things. Man, we got to get a lot of gifts. And we miss this part of just being with. Now, it's not an introduction for some young man in the congregation to go up to some young lady and say, I want to be with you this Christmas, all right? This is not what this is about. But maybe you need to be with someone sometime soon. Maybe God's bringing somebody to your mind right now. See, Christ came and dwelt with us. Why don't we dwell with others? There are some people that listen to this message online. And I wonder, why not come and join? Why not be a part? Dwell. Be with us. God has never left. Or maybe you've been debating about visiting a person. Well, I don't know if I should go visit them. If God came to be with us, even in our awkwardness and difficulties, shouldn't we extend that grace to someone else? And maybe because God is with us, we can be an extension of Him to someone else. And so I encourage you, as you hear these words, Emmanuel, God with us, maybe you should be the extension of God Himself to someone else this week, today, this month. Don't try to fix people. Don't do that. Just be with them. I'm with you. His name is called Emmanuel, God with us, revealed in us. God promises to Mary that Jesus would come and be in her womb. And He sends the promise that God would be with us. It's no small thing. When Jesus came to our earth, He brought heaven to us. God with us should be our battle cry from here onward. God is with me. You should just, I don't know if you need to put that somewhere. God is with me. Maybe on your mirror, maybe in your car. Maybe that needs to serve as a reminder to you when you start to go on your computer screen somewhere where you shouldn't go. You should say, God is with me, and I don't think He'd be very happy about this. God is with me, and I maybe shouldn't be spending my money this way. God is with me, so I should not go into that establishment. God is with me, so I should not be saying those things in that way. Oh, how we get our minds on things below and our little messes and challenges. God with us, means that He is with us in those messes. And may we know deep within that God is with us. Not some small God, G-O-D, not some good luck charm that we carry around, not a superstition, not a warm feeling deep in your gut, not something that makes you cozy, but this is God Almighty in you. Today as you leave, know that you do not leave alone. If you are a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, God is with you. You leave knowing that God is with you. Maybe this year has been one of tough things and you've forgotten this. Maybe you didn't know God could be with you. Maybe you've forgotten that the Lord is your shade at your right hand. Know this Christmas, even with people out of your life, because some of you have lost some crucial people in your life. But know this Christmas, even with people out of your life and your feelings of wonderment and your feelings of loneliness, and your feelings of joy, God is with you. Wherever you go, know that God is with you, and you are a representation of Him because He is living in and through you. I encourage you this week, go be with someone. Don't try to fix them. Don't do this. Just go sit with someone. Be with them. And share the love of Christ that He has shared with you. If you're missing on that love, say, God, would You show me what it means that You're with me? And may I know that, and may I know that deep within my heart. Would you stand with me this morning? I want to pray with and for you. Lord Jesus, thank You that You came to our world to be with us. Thank You for Your presence here today. We believe that You're here. And God, I pray that You would help that man or that woman, that boy or that girl that's here today, that has just not felt You with them. Sometimes we don't feel that, but we just know it. And so, Lord, I pray that You would help someone here know that You are with them even right now. Might be somebody here who's going through a very difficult time, physically, spiritually, emotionally. Just pray that You would remind them, I am with You. Thank You that You sent Jesus to our earth. Thank You for the recordings that we have of Him, and thank You that we can have a personal relationship with Jesus. And then, God, I pray for each person in this room. Help us to be with people this week. Help us not to miss what You want to do through us in somebody else's life. Thank You for the way a number of people do that well. They do that so well, and they're just with people. They're not on another agenda doing something else. And I just pray that you would speak through us as we're with others this week. May they sense your presence when we're in their presence because of the presence you have in us. Oh God, this Christmas season, we thank you that you sent Jesus as Emmanuel, God with us. I pray that you would go before us all this week, and as we approach Christmas Day, may you remind us that you are with us. We love you, and I pray this in Jesus' mighty and wonderful name. Amen.